Brethren and Sisters in Australia. St. Helena, California, January 21, 1901. Dear brethren and sisters in Australia, I write to ask you to arouse our church members to take a decided interest in the sale of Christ's object lessons that our school may be freed from debt. Let the publishing house do what it can to defray the cost of printing the book, and let the people take hold with vigor and earnestness of the work of selling it. I am sorry that this work has been delayed. May the Lord help you to do it now, is my prayer. Cherish steady, persevering faith, faith that takes hold of the arm of infinite power. We hope that you will all give Brother Burden and his family a hearty welcome to Australia. We saw in Brother and Sister Burden talents that would be of the greatest value to the work in Australia. For a time, I was inclined to halt between two opinions, not knowing whether to keep Brother Burden here or to send him to the Sydney Sanitarium. But we decided that it would not be just to you to keep him here, so we urged him to go. We need Brother and Sister Burden here. They could have done a good work here, but we know that you need solid, trustworthy helpers in Australia, and so we sent them to you. In doing this, we acted in accordance with the light given me by God. We have the most lively interest in the work in Australia, and we earnestly desire to see it advancing along its different lines. And especially do we desire to see the successful establishment of the Sydney Sanitarium. This work has been long delayed and should now be pushed forward with vigor. The Lord has repeatedly given instruction regarding the importance of this institution and the necessity for its establishment. He desires the sanitarium to be built that he may cooperate with his instrumentalities in relieving the sufferings of humanity. In the work in the sanitarium, physicians, matron, and nurses are to cooperate with God in restoring the sick to health. In doing this, they cooperate with him in restoring his image in the soul. Let us not limit the Holy One of Israel. Is not Christ officiating for us in the sanctuary above, at the right hand of God? Is he not making intercession for those who are suffering physically and those who are suffering spiritually? He invites them to come to him, who was dead but is alive forevermore. God desires suffering human beings to be taught how to avoid sickness by the practice of correct habits of eating, drinking, and dressing. Many are suffering under the oppressive power of sinful practices who might be restored to health by an intelligent observation of the laws of life and health, by cooperating with him who died that they might have eternal life. This is the knowledge that men and women need. They need to be taught how to study the divine laws given by Christ for the good of all mankind. This is the work that is to be done in our sanitarium in Australia. God's instrumentalities should seek to follow in the footsteps of the divine healer. Those who come to the sanitarium should be taught how to take care of the body, remembering the words, "Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price." Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19-20. Yes, we are God's property, and the path of obedience to nature's laws is the direct path to heaven. He who is converted from errors in eating, drinking, and dressing is being prepared to hear and receive the truth into a good and willing heart. Many, by practicing the laws of nature and by receiving the renovating grace of God into the soul, obtain a new lease of physical and spiritual life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9, verse 10. Let wisdom's voice be heard, for her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Proverbs 3, verse 17.
I feel a special burden for the sanitarium in Sydney. Let our brethren and sisters study carefully and prayerfully the present situation. There is need for them to do all they can to advance the work on the sanitarium. They must depend largely upon themselves, for the brethren and sisters in America have been drawn upon heavily, and just now they are straining every nerve to relieve the embarrassed institutions in Scandinavia. We are doing our utmost to relieve the emergencies in Norway, Denmark, and Australia. The inhabitants of the heavenly universe are looking with intense interest upon God's enterprises in different parts of the world. Let our people in Australia awake and rally to the help of the Sydney Sanitarium. Let them do all in their power to set this institution in operation as soon as possible. God says, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Take this word as a message from heaven, to which you are to pay profound attention, that you may understand the heavenly mandate and be prepared to answer, "Here am I, send me." Isaiah 6, verse 8.
It is the glory of the gospel that it is founded upon the principle of restoring, in the fallen race, the divine image by a constant manifestation of benevolence. This work began in the heavenly courts. There, God decided to give human beings an unmistakable evidence of the love with which He regarded them. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. The Godhead was stirred with pity for the race, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit gave themselves to the working out of the plan of redemption. In order to fully carry out this plan, it was decided that Christ, the only begotten Son of God, should give Himself an offering for sin. What line can measure the depth of this love? God would make it impossible for man to say that he could have done more. With Christ, He gave all the resources of heaven, that nothing might be wanting in the plan for man's uplifting. Here is love, the contemplation of which should fill the soul with inexpressible gratitude. While we were yet sinners, the Son of God died for us, laying aside His royal robe and kingly crown, and clothing His divinity with humanity. He stooped to our estate to rescue us from the thraldom of sin. For our sakes, He became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich. He came to this earth to take His position at the head of humanity. In our behalf, He bore the stroke of divine justice. Because He was just, He became the justifier of all who believe in Him. He assumed human nature, that for the transgressor He might suffer the penalty of transgression. He took the place of the sinner, and died that we might live, making His soul an offering for sin. Oh, what love, what matchless love! The contemplation of this love will cleanse the soul from all selfishness. It will lead the disciple to deny self, take up the cross, and follow the Redeemer. The establishment of churches and sanitariums is only a further manifestation of the love of God, and in this work, all God's people should have a part. Christ formed His church here below for the express purpose of showing forth, through the members, the grace of God. Throughout the world, His people are to raise memorials of His Sabbath, the sign between Him and them that He is the one who sanctifies them. Thus they are to show that they have returned to their loyalty and stand firmly for the principles of His law. Sanitariums are to be so established and conducted that they will be educational in character. They are to show forth to the world the benevolence of heaven. And though Christ's visible presence is not discerned in the building, yet the workers may claim the promise, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 20. He has assured us that to those who love and fear Him, He will give power to continue the work He began on this earth. He went about doing good,
teaching the ignorant and healing the sick. And his work never stopped with an exhibition of his power to heal physical disease. He made each work of healing an occasion of implanting in the heart the divine principles of his love and benevolence. Thus, his followers are to work. The inhabitants of the heavenly universe are appointed to go forth, to come into close touch with human instrumentalities who act as God's helping hand. In the performance of this mission of love, angels mingle with the fallen race, ministering to those who shall be heirs of salvation. Divine and human agencies unite in the work of restoring the image of God in man. All who partake of the divine nature are appointed with God to unite with the angels in carrying forward with untiring zeal the plan of redemption. Shall we not as a people awaken to our responsibility? Shall we not manifest our love for God and our fellow men by giving of our means to carry forward the work for this time, while the way is still open for work to be done? The principles of Christ's love demand action. When this appeal shall come to you, let no one show his lack of faith by objecting to send the money raised to the place where it is most needed. Let no one raise an unbelieving hand to say that money shall not be sent to the Sydney Sanitarium. Do not conspire to quench the spark of benevolence. Rather, unite to fan it to a strong, steady flame.
All the money is the Lord's, and we now call upon our people in Australia to unite in carrying to a successful completion the work on the Sydney Sanitarium. The light given me is that this work can and must be done. Let not the work on the sanitarium be hindered for lack of means. Let not this institution stand unfinished as a reproach to our churches. Let those to whom the Lord has given the talent of means help to accomplish this work. Carry the work through in the name of the Lord. Let all our people arise and see what they can do. Let them show that the Spirit of God is moving them to action. I also call upon those who can to help in lifting the burden of debt from our institutions in Scandinavia. Several, without special invitation, have said that they had gifts for these institutions. From the light I have received from the Lord, I know that we can raise these institutions from the pit of financial embarrassment. Let there be in the hearts of our people a revival of the love shown on Calvary for fallen humanity. Behold, the King of Glory giving his life for a sinful world. Calvary speaks in language more forcible than any I can use. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? As you consider the situation, return to the Lord his own in gifts and offerings. The love of Christ demands your offerings. He whose heart is filled with the love of Jesus will behold in every fellow being a memorial of the love expressed by Christ for the human race. This love will cause their gratitude to flow forth in words and deeds of mercy and benevolence. Receiving and giving, they work in harmony with Christ's example. The love expressed on Calvary should be revived, strengthened, and diffused among our churches. Shall we not do all we can to give power to the principles which Christ brought to this world? Shall we not strive to establish and give efficiency to the benevolent enterprises which are now called for without delay? Christ's believing people are to perpetuate his love. This love is to draw them together round the cross. It is to divest them of all selfishness and bind them to God and to one another. Meet around the cross of Calvary in self-sacrifice and self-denial. As you stand before the cross and see the royal Prince of Heaven dying for you, can you seal your heart, saying, "No, I have nothing to give"? God will bless you as you do your best. As you approach the throne of grace, as you find yourself bound to this throne by the golden chain let down from heaven to earth to draw men from the pit of sin, your heart will go out in love for your brethren and sisters who are without God and without hope in the world. God help us to feel that now, just now, is our time and opportunity to work for the Master. As we see the love that has been shown for us, shall not our love be awakened and enlarged, so that nothing will seem too much for us to do for God? Let us do something, and do it now. Let us arouse from our apathy, and catching the inspiration of God's love, work as never before for the Master.